So I just wanted to mention one thing from the last sugya, that the Tosfos mentions in Erevin a very interesting halacha about what type of a question can't the Talmud answer bifnei Rabbo, right? And as the Mishnah said, the Gemara said, even a simple thing. Can you grab me the Erevin there? The Mishnah, the Gemara said even a simple question, but Tosfos has an interesting limitation on that. Yeah, he says V'omer Ri, it's on Samach Beis on Beis in the bottom. Dafka b'davar shenir echidish l'shoel. He says, what types of things can't the Talmud answer? Only things that appear like a chiddush to the one who asks the question. Vafilu be'asa bekutcha u'megillas tainus b'chi haygavna airi. V'lo naktinu el lashmo inan da'afilu bahani she'atalmud ba'atzmo yodeya she'eno toeh asur lahoros. So he wants to say that what are these two simple cases, right? He says the simple cases that are mean that even though the Talmud knows for sure, he's not making a mistake, right? But it's still only when the one who asks the question doesn't have any idea about it, and to him, it's a chiddush when he hears the answer. Aval davar shehashoel yodeya sheyadua minhago. But if it's a question that everybody really knows, like Nosin Tam Lefgam. No, it's the question that's bothering you is Mamarshach. If the Kwan who is asking the question doesn't know, then it's a Chiddush to him. And if he does know, then what's he asking the question? So what is the Re saying over here? It's only something that's a Chiddush to the Shoel, right? But not something that's not a Chiddush to the Shoel, right? Yeah, he's not sure about it. That's correct. Now, so what the Re is saying is a lot of times you have a Shai like that. Person knows, he knows something about Bittul, he knows something about Nosin Tam Lefgam, he knows that there are these ideas, but he's not comfortable enough to be sure that it's mutter. So he's sort of like double checking with the guy, right? I use my, I cooked meat in my dairy pot, but it hasn't been used in the day. Is it okay? Right? So he sort of remembers, yeah, there's something about Nosin Tam Lefgam, but a little nervous. So he asks the guy, and the guy says, yeah, it's mutter because it's Nosin Tam Lefgam. It's a day old, it's considered Lefgam. The food is good. The pot is another question, but the food is good. So the Re is saying that is always mutter. Because the guy doesn't think that he doesn't see, and there's no chiddush to the shoel. But if it's a chiddush to the shoel, if it's a question that to the questioner, it's something new to him, then even though the Talmud, it's old hat, it's usher. So what kind of a halacha though is this? What kind of a halacha is this? That you say the Talmud can't be more halacha bifnei rabo, even on a simple thing that he's sure he's not making a mistake on. And the Re adds in that it depends on how the shoel perceives it. Where does the Re get that from? What kind of a svara is that? Either it's usher to answer the question or it's mutter to give it to answer the question. And simplicity is not a factor. Where is he getting this idea that it goes by the shoel? By like, it's like back to Hanukkah again, right? It's defined by the roeh. Yeah, that's what you're saying, Avi, right? Yeah. So in other words, the Re is very interesting. It's a very nice Re. He's trying to show you, he's saying that that's the whole theme of the problem. The theme of the motif of the Isser is to diminish the authority of the Rav. So it depends. If it's something, so therefore it goes by how the shoel relates to it. If he relates to it as something new, so then that means that it has now a source in this in the Talmud. The Talmud is his source of knowledge on this area. He's the authority on this subject to this person. That's wrong. Take the role of authority, even on a simple matter. But if the person himself really knows that this is a general, he knows the halacha basically, he understands the inyan, he knows it's not coming from this guy, right? And he's just unsure of it himself, then it's not a problem of, he's not taking on the role of being a source and an authority, because everybody knows it's the old hat, everybody knows it's the Davar Yadua. It's an interesting caveat over here. It's an interesting qualification that he has to actually, the Ri is saying, depending on that, it really goes by the perception of whether he's taking a role as an authority figure. It depends on the function that he's serving to this individual. If to this individual he's doing something new that he relates to as a chiddush, then it's an iser. But if the person doesn't relate to it as a chiddush, he's just double checking, or he just forgot, he wants to be reminded, whatever it is, then it's not an iser. Okay, so now we're going to take up one more topic over here in the first parak. The topic is a very important topic of pshara, right? I mean, everybody. I think people have heard that, it's better to do pshara than to do din. And actually, it's a big machlokas coming up. But it's an important topic of pshara. So first of all, what is pshara really? I think there's a misconception sometimes about what pshara is. At least I had a misconception about it. So, what do you think pshara means?
Compromise.
Right, so it's generally translated as compromise. So what does that mean, compromise, practically speaking? Two people come into Beis Din arguing. So what does it mean that Beis Din does pshara? Maybe I'm the only one who has this misconception. But I think sometimes people think that when they say compromise, it means like the Beis Din mediates between the two people and tries to get them to agree to something. Now, there's a lot of times when you use the term, you say, we're going to come to you, and we want to have a pshara, we want compromise. So it's sort of like the Beis Din says, well, din would be we would make a decision. Pshara is we're going to sort of push you guys to work out your own settlement, like in court, right? You can either go to the judge and get his judgments, or you can come to court with a settlement that both parties worked out on their own and say, look, we don't want to go to court, right? And the judge will sign off on the settlement. So I think a lot of times, I think that people think sometimes that when we say pshara, we mean to say Beis Din will be there, I guess like a last resort, but we'd rather have the parties work it out among themselves, and that's a pshara, right? Point. But the point is that settlement is sort of out of court. Pshara, I think sometimes people think of pshara as out of court, right? Beis Din will be there maybe to facilitate, maybe push, but basically it's some agreement between the parties. But that's not what pshara means. That's not what pshara means in terms of halacha. In terms of the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about pshara versus din, that's not what pshara means. So what does pshara mean as opposed to din? So din is going on the halachos of Shulchan Aruch, Chosha Mishpat, and strict dins of Dine Eidus and Raya and all these other things, right? Pshara is different. Pshara is that the Beis Din has a right to take into account all kinds of factors. They don't need necessarily kosher Eidim, but they come to a decision more like a fairness kind of a decision, as opposed to a din-based decision. But it's a decision of the Beis Din. Make no mistake. It's not the people saying, we agree, we want to settle this. It's not like Beis Din says, you guys work it out on your own. That's not what pshara means. Pshara means we will render a decision, but not based on strict dinim, more based on other totality of factors, fairness, whatever you might say. And interestingly enough, there was the English copied a lot of from Torah, in their system of justice, and they used to have two kinds of courts. I think in certain jurisdictions they still have it. You could bring a case into a court of law, or you know what the other one is called? It's called a court of equity. You could bring a case either to a court of law or to a court of equity. One of them it just goes by din, and one would go by certain fairness. You know, two courts, two systems. So that's similar to what I'm sure they took a lot of, it's a known fact, they studied Gemara and these types of things. They definitely got a lot of things from Halacha. So that's really the similar kind of an idea. The basin can function either in terms of pure din, or the parties can say, look, we're going to forego din. We want to hear what you think about this, what you think is fair. It's a very different question, right? Person might not have a solid raya, right? Might not have a raya, might not have a kosher aid, but the judge, if he was allowed to take into account all of the factors, he might think something is fair. He might think it's fair to do this, but based on din, he couldn't do it. So, that's what we mean by pshara.
Okay.
Like let's say, let's say you would say there's a case of an argument about money, right? And one guy is a muhsuk, he has the money in his hands, and the other one doesn't have a solid raya, doesn't have aidim against it. So in din, whenever there's a doubt, the muhsuk always gets it. That's the end of the story. There's just no question about it. I mean, the muhsuk will win. Even though the dayan would really feel that, let's say he knows that the other guy's raya is somewhat good, or whatever it is. But the point is, in din, the chazaka will just trump anything, unless everything but an absolute raya. But that might not be what he feels is fair. Or let's say two people were arguing about a sale of something, and maybe somebody was slightly misled about it. But not enough to make it a mekachtos. So maybe in fairness they would say, well, you were a little misled, so you should get back some of the money. Something like that, you know what I mean? In halacha there'd be no thing, and there'd be nothing like that. Halachically either it's a mekachtos, or either it was a good sale or it was not a good sale. It's either all or nothing. But in pshara it can go by factors that, can go by what I think is a fair outcome. Now, sometimes in halacha, there are only choices, there are only certain outcomes that are available, like I said, by a sale. Either you'll say it was a good sale or you say it was a bad sale. Either it goes through or all the money is returned. But you might think that as a fair outcome that it should be, like he said, split. But there's no halachic basis for something like that necessarily. So, halacha is rigid. And it has only certain discrete possible outcomes. But Pshara can say, well, forget about what possible outcomes. Halacha would say, what do we think is a good outcome here? Yeah. We have halacha. In other words, there's a certain reality to the fact that there's a technicality of halacha. There's a very technical aspect of halacha. And that might not perfectly reflect the situation. It might not perfectly reflect the situation. Or the meaning of the intent of the parties. Or the way they saw it, the way they thought about it, what they thought was happening. Right? You have a lot of situations like that. Where, they thought they were doing one thing, but maybe they missed the technicality. And the whole thing is bottle. But their intent and their... your desire was one thing. Different from what it's interesting. The later on the Gemara, on the next daf, goes through different, he says, it's an interesting machlokas later on what's better, mishpat or pshar. Yeah. See, the Gemara says on Vava Mbez. It says Omar Rabbi Yoshua ben Karcha Omer. That's like 15 lines down. Mitzvah liv tzoa. So bitzua means pshara. It's a mitzvah liv tzoa, right? That's the term we have over here.
What's the difference between the two words?
I don't know. Bitsua, shara.
Yeah.
I don't know. Shenemar, MS umishbat shalom. MS umishbat shalom, shaftu bisharechem. So it says MS and mishbat shalom you should do in your gate. The gate is where the Beis Din is. So the Gemara says, "V'alo b'makom sheish mishpat ein shalom, u'b'makom sheish shalom ein mishpat." So how does mishpat and shalom go together? Why does mishpat and shalom not go together? Because someone comes out of the Beis Din and they lose, and they're not happy, right? So he says, "Ei zehu mishpat sheish bo shalom." So what is a mishpat that has shalom in it? Haviomer ze bitzua. Shara, you walk out of the basin happy. That's the idea. It's supposed to work with a certain sense of equity, right? It's a different approach. It's more appeasing the people and, you know, working with the mishpat is winner loser. That's it. Someone's going to walk out unhappy. Shara is different. Shara is some sort of an accommodation to each one, based on what is a certain fairness. Anyhow, so that's the basic point. So now let's go to the halachic. Now let's take up the Gemara. The Gemara is like this. So this Gemara is coming in the middle of the discussion that we started a long time ago, and that is the machlokus of Shmuel and Rabbi Avahu. About what's the minimal shear of a basin, right? Shmuel says shnayim shadanu dineim din ela shenikra basin chotzef. So Shmuel says if two dayanim could really give din, they could really force somebody to basin two, but they are basin chotzef. They have chutzpah. See, who's someone asking me the word? It's again basin chotzef. And Rabbi Avahu says, "Shnayim shadanu divri akol ein dineim din." So that's an old machlokas. Is the minimal shear two, which is really one? There's really no difference between two and one, or is it three? As Rabbi Avahu held that without three, there's no such thing as din. In terms of forcing, someone volunteers, "I want to hear you." Fine, but in terms of the authority of a beis din, there's no authority of a beis din less than three. And Shmuel held there is. Okay? So that's an old machlokas. From the very beginning, we had that question. Dalet beis on a beis, the whole thing. So now the Gemara comes back to it and says, maybe this machlokas of Shmuel and Rabbi Avahu is based on the machlokas tanaim. It's really the same thing as a machlokas tanaim. Okay? Let's take it from there. Lema kitanoi. Go ahead. No. The question was, what's Bitsua versus Pshara? So I'm just guessing in my limited knowledge of the Hebrew language, but Botseya means split, right? That's a Botseya Mevarech, you say, by bread. When you break the bread, it's called Botseya, right? So that's split. Pshara means something else. What does Pshara mean? Have you ever heard the term Mayim Pshara, Mayim Postrum? Means lukewarm. Poshrin means like to moderate something, like to cool it down. So it's different terms for compromise. Either it's the I don't know exactly why the Gemara uses different terms. Botseya means split. I mean, just the etymology of the words. Botseya, it means to split, and posher means to cool down. So I guess there are two elements in compromise. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, so let's take a look. So the Gemara says, "Lema kitanai bitzua b'shlosha divrei meir v'chachamim omrim pshara b'yachid." So you see right over here, even the he changed it to bitzua on the side. Why would he change the term in the middle of the argument? Yeah. Right. Not only is it one, but it's not botzeya; it's pshara. But anyway, so he says. So that's what the Gemara wants to say. That what? Savru al kuliyama makshinam pshar ledin. My love bahaka miflagi the marsavar din vishlosha marsavar din vishnayim. So that was where I wanted to say, look, we know there's a machlokas about pshara between Reb Meir and the Chachamim, right? The Reb Meir says pshara is with three, and the Chachamim say it's with one. So let's say that that's really the same machlokas as Shmuel and Rabbi Avohu. That what? That how do they get their machlokas about pshara? They compare pshara to din. Rash says, why? Based on the pasuk that we read a minute ago. Right? So he says, Savrua Rabban Amoroi b'nei yeshiva ubo lemeimar mehocha debishmuel Rabbi Avohu pligi. Yeah. So he says they thought Savrua means the Bnei Yeshiva thought that Kuli Alma Rabban Reb Meir hold that we're Makshinam Pshar Ladin, Dichsiv Mishpat Utsidaka. Varmin Lakoman de Zehu Bitsua. Alma de Iskush le Mishpat. Yes, what does that mean? So take a look at Tosis. Interesting Tosis.
What is it? Is Kushmi?
It's compared. Right? So he says, Bitsua begimor. Tosis is like this. Alpha gavdim makshi pshar ledin. Lav l'chol dover makshinan. So he says, it's true, even though we compare compromise to din, we compare pshar to din, because that's what they're saying, that that's how you get three. You need three for pshara, just like you need three for din. It doesn't mean that we really compare pshara to din in every respect. Why? Dibidin azlinan basar ruba. Interesting. That by din, we say you go by the majority. Right? If two say one, te say chayv, one says pater, or vice versa, you go by the majority. Im shneim or mzakai vechadom chayv o ipcha. Ubipshara lo azlinan basar ruba. Ad shi askimu shloshtan lo das echad. If you try to look up this Gemara, it's a little confusing. But it means, if a guy says, I want the evaluation of three, in terms of the price of a certain piece of property, so then, even if two out of three say it, it's good. But if he says, ad da amri beit lasa. Alright, it's a little bit confusing there. But basically the point is that there's a certain, if he says it a certain way, then he means that he wants all three. And Tosis is comparing to that case. But forget about the Raya. Let's just take the point he's making, that what? That for some reason he's saying, even if you're gonna say that there's a different, that there's two things. There's din and there's pshar. And the Gemara is saying there's a comparison from din to pshar. What's the comparison? That if you need three for din, you should need three for pshar. But Tosis is saying that's as far as the comparison really is going. It's not a complete comparison. It's not saying that din and pshara work the same way. Because even if you say there's a comparison from din to pshara, that both of them need three, the way the decision is rendered, everybody agrees is different. By din, it's a majority. And by pshara, it has to be unanimous. So what does it mean that we're comparing din to pshara that you need three? And why does the comparison stop? Why don't we continue the comparison in the way the decision is rendered? Well, let's start with the second question first. Well, why don't we continue the comparison in the way the decision is rendered? Very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these judges are stubborn, right? They can't compromise on this. Two out of three, and
unbelievable.
The whole spirit of compromise, right? Yeah.
We're saying that.
In other words, putting it halachically, we're making the pshara in terms of the legislative body, but not the legislative process, right? The body of the din is three, and the body of pshara is three, but the way the process is carried out by din is majority, and by pshara is unanimity. So, well, why? Why does the compromise, why does the hekesh not apply to the way the process is carried out? All right, so what is...
Let me just put it down.
So Yonah is saying like this, that by din is basically a defined course of action. There are specific halachos, and it's a... you could say that the process has objective criteria, right? The decision... The decisions have objective criteria. Edim, Raya, Namonis, there are certain objective criteria to render a decision on. So as long as you have two who agree to an object to the din, then there's a basis in the objective criteria, and there's a basis in the beis din. In other words, they're sort of making use of a pre-existing structure, right? Whereas in Pshara, they're just completely on their own. They're freed from any type of structure, any type of basis, any type of halachic constrictions, objective. There's no objective path to the Pshara, right? It's not a technical type of an inquiry. It's more they're casting off all forms of all of the objective forms, and they're just going straight for what they consider to be fair. So in that sense, you need more of in that one, since it's more freedom, it needs a greater corroboration. Because when you have something that is technical and defined, so then two is enough to corroborate the validity of the technical halacha. But when you're totally on your own, you need more to establish it as correct. You need a greater support. So only if it's unanimous will it be accepted.
Right.
In other words, let me rephrase what Yonah is saying. If I may, Yonah, you'll correct me if I'm misstating it. He's trying to equate them. Okay, trying to equate the two. He's saying, look, you need to get to a certain level of corroboration to say that the decision is correct. But the level of corroboration that's needed depends on the objectivity of the subject matter that you're working in. That is the objective, clearly demarcated path. So in halacha, there are very clear black and white rules. So then if two out of three say it's right, that's enough corroboration to say that the decision has reached a threshold of corroboration to give it a certain validity. But where there's no rules, basically, you need more to give it validity. You need more to get to that threshold of believability and credibility, right? So then you need unanimous. But you're basically both trying to get to a certain level of credibility, right? Where there are objective things, two out of three is enough, because the subject matter itself has credibility. It's rules. There are objective things, right? But where it's not, so then it could look like guys are just doing crazy stuff. So if you have three people agree, then you need three to say it's the right thing to do in order to give it that same level of credibility. So Yonah's taking a technical approach here. It's good, I like it. It's a technical approach, though. He's trying to say, look, what does two do over there? It gives it a certain level of credibility, but where there's more freedom, you need more corroboration, right? I like what Yonah's saying, but I would modify it a little bit. I would modify it a little bit. I think it's more that is part of the nature of Pshara. Maybe this is what you mean to say. In other words, it means like this. By din is a decision, is a technical decision. Okay? And for the technical decision, so the halacha already states, achir rabin lahatos, that's part of the technical scheme of din itself. But pshara is not within any framework of decision making. Pshara is what's just considered from the fairness of the situation. So unless everybody agrees, that by definition is lacking in fairness. In other words, fairness means it appeals to a certain sense of justice. And in order to have that, there can't be any machlokas. Any machlokas by already shows you that the decision is not in line with an ultimate sense of fairness. And then judgment, din is not something that says that's in line with an ultimate sense of fairness. Din is a technical matter, has to do with halachic process. And in the halachic process, the halachic system renders a decision. There's a halachic process to render a halachic decision. And what is the process? Part of the very process of the halachic decision is Acher Rab Latos. So did I render a halachic decision with three, with a majority of two? Yes, that is exactly what the halachic system says. A halachic decision is rendered by this process. Now, when we make a hekesh to Pshara, and we say we need the same deliberative body, we need the same three, that's as far as the hekesh can go. Because it can't tell you that you can have a rov to make the decision, because it's a different kind of a decision. Rov is good in halachic decisions, in din, because it's a technical matter, and there's a technical system that determines what the decision is. That technical system says rov. But in pshara, you're abandoning technicalities. That's the whole idea. And you're saying we're going to go away from the technical and the decision will come through the fairness of the thing. We're just going to look at the intrinsic sense of what should be done here. But there's a shear to that. You understand? It has to stand on its own. It has to be mitocho that it makes sense. So if there's a 2-to-1 decision on that, then that shows you that it doesn't appeal intrinsically to a sense of fairness, because if it did, everyone would agree. You understand? It just lacks, once you have machlokes in fairness, is like a contradiction in terms. Because fairness is something that appeals to a certain sense of the person, an innate sense of what's right and wrong. You can't say this decision reflects that innate idea if one person disagrees. He's also a person. He also has an innate sense. So it can't be that it's really in line with MS if one person doesn't see it. You understand? But by din, we're not claiming it's MS. We're claiming this is the technical structure of how a din is produced. You do these things, and that itself is din. It doesn't lack in din because it's a 2-to-1, but it lacks in the underlying appeal of pshara if it's 2-to-1. You know what I'm saying? In other words, when there's a machlokas in halacha, it's not from a sense of justice that the machlokas is based. It's based on a technical idea of how they darshan and psukim, how they compare cases, things like that. So that people could disagree about. But on what is fair, there shouldn't be any disagreements. Because there's no basis other than the certain sense of fairness itself. And you can't really argue about it. All right, that's what I'm trying to get at. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says no. Kuli alma din b'shlosha v'alcha b'hakim efki. Mar sover makshin p'shar l'din and mar sover lo makshin p'shar l'din. Yeah, it's tough. So the Gemara says no, there's no raya like that. Maybe that is exactly the question. That what? Maybe that's exactly the question. Do we compare p'shar to din? So it could be that now it doesn't necessarily mean there's a machlokas tanoim about whether din is with three or with one. Could be everybody agrees din is with three, right? But they argue about whether you compare pshara to din. You see, Tosus is bothered by a funny, interesting question. He says, "Tema the lo ka'omar l'shmuel vade tanoi." Whereas you, really, the Gemara could have said over here that was Shmuel is the one who's in trouble. Because he's the one who says, what? That it's three. That a Beis Din can be less than three. So if a Beis Din can be less than three, then it would seem he's forced into the position that that they're arguing about, that everybody agrees to the Hekesh. But for Rabbi Avahu, he could really say everybody agrees, Beis Din is three, and it's only a question of whether you make a Hekesh or not. In other words, like this, if you hold you don't make the Hekesh to Din, then do you need more or less Dayanim than Din? In other words, if you hold that we don't make the Hekesh to Din, that's what the Gemara is saying. No, maybe the question is whether we make the Hekesh to Din or not. Comparison, right? Do we learn from Din to Pshara, the amount of people on the Beis Din of Pshara? So let's say I don't make the Hekesh. If I make the Hekesh, it means they have to be the same. If Din has three, Pshara has three. If Din has one, Pshara has one. Let's say I don't make the Hekesh. What would that mean for Pshara? That there have to be more or less?
Any amount.
That, but that means less. That means less is acceptable. Right? In other words, like this. It doesn't make sense to say that you would hold by Din you need one, and by Pshara you need three. Because Pshara, without the Hekesh to Pshara, you would say it should just be one. Without the Hekesh to Din, you would just say it's one. It's only because of the Hekesh to Din that you need that you would need more. So that's what Tosfos is bothered by. Now let's take Shmuel, right? Shmuel holds a Beis Din can be constituted by two or one, right? So then according to him, the ones who say Pshara must be with three, it must be that they hold Din has to be with three. Otherwise, where would they get Pshara with three? Right? So that's what Tosfos is bothered by. The Gemara should have really said, at least according to Shmuel, it must be a Machlokas Tanayim. Because how could Shmuel at the same time say, Din could be one, but Pshara has to be three? That doesn't make sense. Shmuel must admit that there's a machlokas tanaim. Because otherwise, where would the Tana who says Pshara has to be three come from? Has to be from his idea of Din. So that's what Tosfos is bothered. Why didn't the Gemara say, according to Shmuel, it's definitely a machlokas tanaim, but according to Rabbi Avahu, he could learn everybody agrees Din is three, but they argue about whether Pshara has to be three. But it can't be that Shmuel says everybody agrees Din can be with one, but they argue about whether Pshara has to be three. That doesn't make sense. So that's what Tosfos is bothered by. Tema lo delo ka'omar l'Shmuel v'adei tanayhu. Why didn't the Gemara say, according to Shmuel, it has to be a Malchokas Tanayim? L'Rebbe Avahu mi'lema tanayhi. But according to Rebbe Avahu, it doesn't have to be. He says, D'chi hai gavna urcha de'ashas b'chol duchta. Whenever the Gemara has a question like this, it always says that. For some reason, it doesn't say it here. But Al Pisvara, it's still the same. Al Pisvara, it doesn't make sense to say Din could be one, but Pshara must be three. That's what Tosfos is basically saying over here. So when you're arguing about Pshara, whether you compare Pshara to Din, it's only a question of whether it has the requirements of Din. Right? And if it doesn't have the requirements of Din, then it would be even less than Din. But it doesn't make sense to say that if Din is one, and I don't make the Hekesh to Din, then Pshara has to be three. That doesn't make any sense, according to us. Right? Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, obviously asking you a question. And then why can't it be? No, Din is one, like we were saying before. Maybe Din is one, that's just a technical halacha. Din could be one. But fairness requires, like Yonah was saying, more corroboration. It's a good question.
I mean, would you say the three for some separate reason, not from the
limit? I guess he's bothered by where you get it from, though. I guess he's bothered by where you get it from. Yeah, why three? Where do you get that from? Right? I mean, the basic question, though, is an interesting question. Do you make a Hekesh from Pshara to Din? That's an interesting question. Yeah, it's a good question. It's hard to define that question. It was the question of whether there's a hekesh of mishpat to pshara. What does it imply? Because if you say there's a hekesh, it's a certain implication. It means to say that there's only one source of settling disputes. Din, based in. There's only one institution of settling the disputes. But that one institution of based in has two methods. Has the method of din and pshar, depending on what the Bali dinim decide. It's up to them, in a certain sense. Mostly it's up to them. But there's no such thing as an out of court. It's not like you go to arbitration, right? Right. It's not like you go to arbitration. It's not like a separate panel. It's the basin itself. It still is the institution of basin. But there's two methods, din or pshara. That would seem to be saying that there's a hekesh. There's no other body that you can go to. There's no such thing as another, as going outside of the institution of basin to reach a settlement. But the mishpat could either be mishpat, or what is Rashi saying? It could either be mishpat or tzedakah, based in itself, could be doing. They both are two different paths to the same goal. The based in essentially is there to resolve disputes. The essence of based in is really there to keep the society functioning, and disputes among people in society cause a dysfunction in the society. But there are two paths that are at the disposal of Beis Din. Mishpat or tzedakah. But the essence of what Beis Din does is really the resolution of the disputes. You understand? And therefore, mishpat and tzedakah could both be under Beis Din, because they're both different methods of resolving the dispute. But that means there's a hekesh between the two. Why? Because they both, so to speak, come under one heading, and it's in terms of the outcome that they're under one heading, resolving a dispute. You could take the strict din approach. You could take the tzedakah approach. But in terms of the underlying institution of both of them is resolving the riv, and there's only one body that's appointed for that purpose. That's a based. Whatever a based, you cannot have a dispute resolved other than the body of based. The other way is to say no. That's not the essence of based. The essence of based comes from din. Based is defined by the body of din. Pshara is a different method, and it's not part of the based. In other words, it comes out to be an interesting question. What's the essence of based? Is the essence of based in resolving the dispute? And therefore I can say it comprises two very different methods, but they're the same in the sense that they settle the disputes among the among Klal Yisrael. Or do I say no, the essence of based in is din? Court, the essence of based in is din. If you choose to resolve your dispute by din, then you need the institution of based in. If you decide to resolve your dispute by pshara, then you're out of the realm of basin. Okay, all right, maybe say it's far-fetched, but that's my take on it. You hear what I'm saying, Yona? Pshara. Right? In other words, are you always going to a basin or not? That's the question. If you say there's a hekesh, that means to say there's only one institution of settling disputes. But there are two equal methods within that. That's a hekesh. They're compared to each other because they're both under one rubric of dispute resolution. So then there's no such thing of going to a... So whoever the basin of din is, that is exactly the basin of pshar. So if it's three for din, it's three for pshar. If it's one for din, it's one for pshar. But if you say that Beis Din is really only an institution of din itself, so then it's possible to say that for din you need three, because whatever it is, you have to have one and one, and then there's a tiebreaker, two against one. That's all rules of Beis Din. But if I'm doing pshara, I'm not in the realm of Beis Din anymore. I decided to, I wanted to resolve my dispute a different way. So then you're in a different body. You're in the body of, you have to go to a body of pshara. What's the body of pshara? I don't know. It's a different definition than the body of din. But basically comes down to the question whether you're always going to the Beis Din or whether you have a choice to go out of Beis Din. Is pshara opting out of Beis Din is really the question. Right? Okay, fine. So now the Gemara says like this. This is a little bit complicated. So like this. Okay, lema tlasa tanoi. Let's say it's three machlokasin. Why? We didn't do this. We skipped this part. But there's another shita earlier that says pshara is two. So now you have Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says pshara is two. Rabbi Meir says three. And the Chum say one. So the Gemara says, Marsa Rabbi Shlosha, Marsa Rabbi Shnayim, Marsa Rabbi Yochad, Om Rav Acha Breit Rav Ika, Vitem Rabbi Yemar, Bar Shalamya, Manda Om Atrei, Afilu Chad Nami. Says, no, the one that says two really holds one. The only thing is use two so that they can be witnesses to the decision. Okay, fine. Now here's the interesting last point that I want to take up. Ready? Omar Ravashi. Maybe we have to continue this. But Omar Ravashi. Shmami no, this is a little bit complicated. Shmami no, pshara ain't a tzricha kinyan. Okay, so what does kinyan mean? So this is what we were saying before, Nissan. Now it's really you're always under din. Essentially, you start out being under din. Pshara is some sort of opting out of din in some sense. But how do you bind yourself to that? Well, can a guy say, well, I changed my mind, I want to go back to din? Right? How do you get out of din? Because you're automatically in din whenever there's an argument. You're in din. Pshara, you're saying we want to go outside of din. Right? Well, let's say the guy says, I changed my mind. I want to go back to din. How do you get locked into pshara? Right? So the Gemara is saying maybe you need a kinyan. Maybe you need to do a maisa of kinyan to bind yourself to this idea of pshara. So Rav Ashi says, I'll prove to you that you don't need a kinyan. Why? A little bit of a difficult logic. He says, because if you needed a kinyan, so then the mandamer who says you need three for pshara, why should he say you need three? Tiski betray velikni mine. Let them just have two and make a kinyan.
Okay, you said one. Go into that also.
Yeah, you're right. Let's see, Rashi. Dekevan dekanu mine. Lamali basedin. Since he makes a kinyan, what do you need three? What do you need a basedin for? Lo tehe ella matana ba'alma. Umidaito. Let it just be a willing thing from him, from a gift from himself, willingly. Vehi miskayemes, and it will be established. What is he talking about? El hachi bo'inan tlasa. What do you need? 3-4. Liapos koach basedin. The afagav de lo konu mine lo nihadru. In other words, let's just break it down into what he's basically saying. I don't have to come back to it. But Ravashi seems to be saying that what's the reason for three? To lock him in. You need an institution of the Beis Din to lock him into it. But he's saying, since you need the Beis Din, that's what the one who holds you need three means. He holds you need three in order to make it formal and official.
Paying bad acts as a kinyan?
That takes the place of a kinyan. He says, but if you had a kinyan, you wouldn't need the three. So since he says you need three, it must be that you don't need a kinyan. Strange. As Ravashti, for some reason, is only looking at the three as a way of making it official. So he says, so then it must mean that you don't need a kinyan to make it official. Because if you had a kinyan to make it official anyway, what would you need three for?
No, I don't really see how
right.
It's not a binding kinyan.
That's what Rashi's trying to explain. He's saying, why would he need basin? If he made a kinyan, what do you need a basin for? If I make a kinyan, if I give you a present, and I make a matana, totally voluntarily, but as a kinyan, can't be undone. So if the whole idea of pshara is just like a voluntary action, and you have a kinyan to establish it, so then there's no way to back out of it. So it must be that that's not the case. It must be that there's no kinyan. So then why, how does the guy not able to back out of it? Because he went to an institution of din and said, I want pshara. And that locks him in.
So it's no different than going to an actual place of din.
That's right.
And asking for anything. It's automatically din once you're there.
It seems like he's saying, what locks you in? The fact that he went to a place of din and forfeited his right to din.
But that also assumes that...
But that you can only do in a makom din.
Right, and is that... So he's saying that you would...
Three is a makom of din. In other words, he's saying, what is it? In other words, maybe this is what Ravashi is explaining. In other words, he's trying to get down to the underlying idea of what is pshara. In other words, is pshara just a willing matana, just a willing thing that I give to you, or we give to each other? So then it would require a kinyan, like any other type of matana. Or is pshara something that comes by giving up your right to din? You understand? How do you enter pshara? Do you enter into pshara by like, it's like something we're giving, something extra that we're giving to each other? Give the gift of pshara? But then it would require a kinyan, because you can't give something without a kinyan. Can't bind yourself to give something without a kinyan. Or is pshara really come when you waive your right to din, then pshara enters? Now is pshara like a default, like it comes in after you waive your right to din, then pshara comes in. But then it would have to be in front of a basin. You have to go to a makom where you could have din, and say, we don't want the din. Then pshara comes in. So that's what Ravashi is saying it must be that pshara really is the waiving of din, the waiving of your right to din. That's why it has to be in front of three. Because if it was just an extra thing that we're giving to each other, so why can't we just make a kinyan, one to the other and go to two? Go to anybody we want. What does three have that two doesn't? Three has the possibility of din. And therefore, you could ask me, you could always go for din to anybody. But three has the objective form of din, and that's where you have to, the din of, and that's where you have to waive your right. All right, we'll have to see. We'll have to think about it a little more. Okay.
So like you're agreeing to it.